Today's episode is brought to you by Heart Ridge Catholic Family Summer Camp. How can you plan an incredible vacation without breaking the bank? Tune in as we share our step-by-step vacation planning process in today's episode of The Catholic Money Show. Oh boy. Is this an episode that I'm excited about?
Oh, my. I bet you are.
I love planning vacations.
There are a few things I think you love more than that. And I'm not even sure if I'm on the list.
Funny.
Thanks.
This, there's several reasons why. I mean, who doesn't enjoy planning a vacation simply by the fact of it's a vacation. That's exciting.
Sure.
And so most people have some level of interest in thinking about and dreaming about what they're going to be doing on vacation. Okay. That's the average bear. Who doesn't like vacation? Great. But I think I have a unique blend of temperament, skills, whatnot.
What
are those? Obsession? I don't know. What are the strengths finder?
Yes.
Strengths finder in my top three. I'm going to blank here, but strategy and
context.
Thank you.
Memory is not one of them.
Woo was my dead last and it was maybe your first.
Yeah. First or second.
Good combination here. People like you. I make sure they actually learn something.
Bingo.
Anywho, so between strategy and context, they come out very well when it comes to planning something.
The first time I ran into this.
Oh, I know what you're going to say. Talk about
was, I don't know what year it was, but it was my birthday. And you planned and perfectly executed the most incredible surprise birthday ever.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Talk about it some more.
I thought I was taking a friend of mine to the airport to take a family wedding or something. I don't know. So we went and picked him up and drove him to the airport. And when we got there, he was like, wait a second.
The itinerary.
He goes, see, this has your name on it.
Seat ticket.
And I'm like, what? It all hit, and I'm freaking out. You start taking suitcase out of the back in the trunk.
It's our trip.
I drove myself to the airport. It was awesome. And so it was this out of nowhere trip. But what was craziest about it?
Are you talking, when we got on the flight?
We got on the flight, and you presented me. Is it three?
Three different itineraries.
Itineraries. Not just like, what do you want to do today? Not which one do you want to do first? But here are three complete itineraries for our whole trip. So you can have trip A, B, or C. Which one would you like? And you've figured out all the details, what we were doing, when we were doing it, where we were eating, all that. Three times.
Loved it.
And it was an amazing trip.
It was. And there were some unpredictable things that happened along the way. Like, I didn't know this was a trip to Vegas, by the way. We came home with more money than we spent because, I don't know, some dumb luck in the casino.
Yeah, a lot of dumb luck.
And then we entered our name into...
We did some, watched TV pilots.
And we entered our name into a thing. And then they paid us for watching the TV pilots, but they also pull names every day to win tickets to go to Cirque du Soleil.
And we won those.
And of course we won that. So it was just stacking of awesome things.
It was great.
We stayed at the most disgusting motel
man. It
ever.
Was a motel.
But it fit in the overall budget, which we will get into here in a minute. Now, this love of planning vacations has continued. I've got baby spit up in my hair. It's all wet and stuck together. Anyway, it has continued on in our family life.
Absolutely.
I would say oftentimes, with young kids, my energy levels to go hyper into the details wasn't always there like it was on this trip that you're explaining. And so I had to do more broad strokes and have more of an open itinerary. But I at least knew some things that I could kind of grab off the shelf, if you will, and plug into play in, into our vacation. Mm-hmm. My best one that I think I ever planned, I think I've got two.
Ooh.
One would be the trip that I took our oldest daughter on to Disney World when for her fifth birthday. That thing was down to a T. And we knew everything we were going to eat. We knew. I watched Disney Food Blog for months in advance. It was fantastic. And then I would say our trip to the Black Hills in South Dakota a couple of years ago.
The best trip we've ever taken.
It really was. And it wasn't just because I planned well, but that played a role.
Yeah.
It certainly played a role. And we actually have a link to an episode we did about that trip specifically. And the budget that we created for that trip and how we were able to use that during the vacation to inform our decisions and, again, make it one of the best trips we've ever taken.
That's right. Probably
the best trip we've ever taken, for sure.
Yeah.
Yet, there's more. There's more.
Ooh, what do you got planned for this summer?
There's more on the horizon.
Can't wait. So I thought, so when I ran into this the first time, and every time since, really, I just don't understand how your brain works. Because mine doesn't, at least in that way.
It doesn't work.
So I thought, all right, and not that my brain's everybody's brain, I hope not. But there might be a few more out there like me who would benefit from the sage sharing her wisdom with us.
Sage? What accent was that? And I would love to share.
Yeah, so please. Because
I do understand that the way my brain goes into situations and just do, like I just kind of categorize and sort and know the most strategic way through whatever it is, whether it's a vacation, whether it's a Saturday afternoon, whether it's a business thing that we have going. Mm-hmm. It just, my brain automatically does these things.
Well,
and I take for granted that it's naturally just part of the process.
Yes, in the same way that Jack Bauer or Jason Bourne or any other trained assassin walk into a room and immediately know how many people are there, how many weapons there probably are, where are the exits, all that stuff.
The license immediately. Plate of the truck out front that has a gun in the
exactly.
glove box.
How that's just a natural skill almost. You have honed these skills. And for the benefit of everyone, I would love for you to share some of the insights so we could share in this as well.
Yeah. And the reason we're going to talk about this right now is because vacation season is upon us. And if there's one thing that we have learned, you know, nothing is more exciting than looking forward to a family vacation. But we run into people all the time in our work here in Wallowin, that vacation ends up being a massive disruptor into their budget because they didn't plan well. They just charged their way through it. Their kids guilted them into X, Y, or Z activity that they didn't anticipate. And then they got on the trip and they wanted to please the teenagers and then they just kind of swiped and destroyed the budget that they had going into it, etc. This can be one of the brightest spots for a family. But it can also be one of the most painful, as it just, it follows a lot of families home on a credit card statement at 18 to 26% interest, and then they're paying it off for the next year. And so it can be a sore spot as well. And I want people to be able to plan a vacation that is exciting to them, that is doable in your budget, and that doesn't harm your ability to say yes to whatever God is prioritizing, asking you to prioritize in your life. And that right there does take skill. It is very easy and unskilled to just go onto Disney's website and type in some dates and click hit yes, I want it, go. And then take a card down there and swipe everything that you do while you're there and then come home and have a giant vacation hangover. That's easy. Anybody could do that. That's what most people do. But I'm going to break down just a very basic process. You don't have to be my brain, but I'm going to help you borrow some parts of it to give you things to think through before you embark on the trip. And that is where kind of this money saving ability is going to be. It's in the, what is it? Measure twice, cut once.
There it is.
Did I get the phrase right?
Bing, 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 bing.
It's all about the planning and the preparation before the execution. Most times people get a little poof of an idea in their mind's eye, and then they just execute immediately without thinking that maybe there could be a different way to back into this that would actually be sanity saving, time saving, financially saving. And that's what I want to impart on those listening today.
Yes, please walk us through this mythical process you're speaking about.
Okay, sounds good.
So what do we do? What do we do first?
Step one. Goodness. Start. My goodness. Goodness. Sleep deprivation is really taking a toll.
Maybe this
really
will be my episode. Here we go. Step one.
All right. Start with the end in mind. This is not just a catchphrase from Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, but he does reference it.
Seven Highly Effective Habits of People.
Just rework all the things I say today and it'll be a complete episode, but it won't have been in the right order. You're getting a word
you
salad
said it right.
About
I was
vacation
just having
today.
Fun.
Okay. So you're going to essentially reverse engineer your vacation by starting with the end in mind. So what I mean by this first, Mike and Alicia Hernan have a great podcast episode on what I'm about to talk about, and we benefit from it greatly. 2 years ago, I believe, we had this, it was going to be the best trip we ever went
this
on.
This was a trip that we had, yes. This
Took
was
me
the
a
trip.
Year to plan it.
Exactly. You'd been working on this.
Yeah, it was Yellowstone. And then all of a sudden, the week we were about 3 days before we were going to leave for Yellowstone, Yellowstone's roads disappeared and cabins fell into the river. And
huge flood that ate Yellowstone.
People had to be evacuated by helicopters. I mean, so we couldn't go to Yellowstone. We had to, and I just listened to this episode by the Hernans, and they essentially said, before you go on any trip, write down, what's the end goal here? What do you actually want to accomplish? What do you want to have happen? Because sometimes we can get so desperate clinging to the plan that we thought had to happen. You know, I could have clung to Yellowstone and then despaired when it couldn't have happened. And thrown up my hands and said, nothing ever works out, blah, blah, blah. You know, I could have thrown a pity party and then we could have canceled all the vacation. And then we could have just lost out. But you and I sat down over a cup of coffee and we actually said, all right, well, Yellowstone is just a placeholder for what?
What were we hoping to accomplish at Yellowstone?
Yeah, time together. Mm-hmm. Beauty in creation. Good food.
Yeah.
Fun experiences, hiking, time to play games, time to unplug. You know, we were able to name all these things. And then we realized, well, Yellowstone doesn't own those things. We could plug in almost anywhere and get the same end result. So instead of clinging, let's go ahead and be open. And so we ended up pivoting that trip. And then we went up to Minnesota for a week and a half. And it was great. Not as epic, but that's okay.
The headwaters of the mighty Mississippi.
That's true. We swam down the first, 500 yards of the Mississippi. Yeah. And the kids still today talk about when they swam in the mighty Mississippi.
Yeah, man. It was awesome.
I hope they never try to go in the actual mighty Mississippi when it actually becomes a real river. Anyway, I want you to list out those things because you just never know. You don't know when somebody's going to get sick. You don't know when a roadway is going to get washed out. You don't know if there's going to be a disaster or a terrorist attack or whatever. And you might have to pivot. And it's just so helpful mentally to hold loosely to the exact specifics and just know really what the end goal you wanted and what that really is. Because you could accomplish that a few different ways if things go south. They don't always, but then sometimes they do.
All right. So you need to know what are you really looking for on this trip? And then you know what, that's a good spot to start.
So list those things off first. Next, and this can be flexible based around what we end up coming up with as our budget. But when do you want to go and for how long?
Oh,
so you should sit down in your calendar and actually find a good time that this trip makes sense. Highly recommend the big Catholic calendar. This is always on the wall in our kitchen, and it can help us spot seasons in the summer or pockets that are really good for a trip, or when it's just not a good time for a trip. And if we squeeze a trip in there, it's going to be super stressful because we have five or six other big projects surrounding it. The big Catholic calendar has helped us to spot those openings when a trip would be the most peaceful. And we've also done it the hard way of overbooking ourselves. And then we learned better. So figure out when you want to go and for about how long. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I mentioned the next thing you want to talk about is, what can you budget for this? How much can you, in reality, budget for this? So if you know this trip is something you want to do this summer in July, and you're listening to this episode in May, you have 2 months. And so that right there is going to greatly impact what you end up coming up with. And again, you can be flexible. You know, if you can reasonably come up with $3,500 in the next 2 months to go on this trip, that's a decent amount. You could actually do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. You could go on a week and a half long camping trip. You could go in some more expensive areas. You could go to the beach for 2 nights. I mean, really, you have options, but then you get to think through, do I want to go on vacation for 3 days or do I want to go on vacation for over a week? Mm-hmm. You get to decide then with that budget, how far can it stretch and what do we really want to have happen with it? But you do need to know, what can you reasonably save up? Maybe it's not going to be $3,500. Maybe all you can do is come up with $1,000 between now and July. Well, that by itself is going to automatically cancel off the beach trip. It's going to cancel off Disney World. It's going to cancel staying in a penthouse in downtown New York City. You know, those things are out. It's going to cancel the trip to Europe. But you're going to be left with still a lot of options. And it's just helpful to be clear on what are we really looking at here, because there's just no use trying to come up with, If really I know I can only save X amount, but I'm sitting here trying to plan a trip 3 times the amount, that's just setting yourself up for a world of pain. A world of pain. I also recommend people, in your budget, 20% of that should be for kind of like surprise expenses, things you didn't see coming. So you almost want to peel 20% off that and hide it from yourself. And then that's the whatever's left is really the amount that you're looking to work with on this trip.
That's good. This is, I think, really wise, because it sets you up to have a happy trip, one where you're not stressing over every swipe of your debit card, one where you're stressing over every decision, every meal, every souvenir. You are walking into it knowing what you've got to spend, and we need maybe hold back some of it because we don't have too much to throw around at whatever. But what I think is really great about it is so many folks end up doing the opposite. You go on the trip, you think of the thing to do, you go on the trip, you spend whatever, and then you get back home and you're wondering, what did we do? What did we get out of this? How much did we spend for that? So I think this puts everything in the right order. That's great.
It does. Yeah, and it just makes it so much more peaceful. I want you to be able to go on this trip. And I know a lot of times people, you know, they tell me, like, I'm tired of saying no to my kids. I want you to be able to budget the right amount on this trip so that you pick a trip where, you can get the lemonade on the pool side and you can order the appetizer. I mean, let it be comfortable and you can say yes to the opportunities as long as you picked the right trip. You can go ahead and do that and make sure you budget the right amounts for things. Really, you know, that's the goal here, is that this is a true vacation. You're not sitting there with a calculator at the end of the day going over receipts. That's the last thing I want for ever anybody on the trip. And some good budgeting and being thoughtful on the front end is going to allow you the freedom and the ability to do that.
All right. Well, what's next?
Yeah. So next is my personal favorite phase. And this phase could drag on for me forever. So it is important, Jonathan and I, at a certain point, come together and you're like, we need to get going. It's the research phase.
I was wondering when I would ask this question, but I wanted to know, what do you like most? Planning the trip and researching the trip,
or
the
being
trip?
On the trip? They are equally as satisfying to me. I know that sounds insane.
You are crazy.
I know. It doesn't make sense. I should way more want to be on vacation. But the process of planning it is so satisfying to me that they are kind of equal.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, when you are researching things, what do you do? How do you do it?
Yeah. So the first thing is I've got kind of my broad strokes of what I want in step one. Hmm. So that's all I've written it down. It's available to me. I'm not going to forget it. Mm-hmm. Now it's just time to kind of begin that research. So destination options, you know, what might be available to me. And I think that there's just a healthy bit of willingness to be creative here and to think outside the box. Because sometimes you just never know what might be available to you. Mm. So even going back to the previous section about my budget available, mm-hmm. Well, maybe you don't have a ton to throw at it, but maybe one of you travels for a living and you have a ton of points.
Oh, sure.
And you've just been sitting on them. So sometimes a little bit of creativity is helpful here to really think about what might be available. Mm. You know, you're staring at the number. You only can save up $1,000 and you have a family of eight and you want to go on vacation. But, oh my goodness, Dad is sitting on 1.3 million points and we could all fly to Hawaii for free. Just don't just write anything off right out the get-go. If you can be creative and back into different destinations in a creative way, it's an option.
Interesting.
Yeah. So okay. At this point, I'm kind of just gathering and researching potential things that are out there. And then at a certain point, you and I will kind of sit down and discuss which of these sounds interesting.
Yes.
And you kind of help guide that conversation of us narrowing it down. And I've done a little bit more research into what this kind of a trip would end up costing generally. And I know that it's going to fit within our overall budget. Mm-hmm. No matter how creative I get, I know this trip's going to work. So some other things to consider as far as just, you know, you're going to be also in your budget, you're going to be looking at how am I going to get there?
Mm-hmm.
Are we flying? Are we taking a train? Are we driving? Bonus, next week's episode, we are going to talk about saving money on road trips specifically. That's kind of a subsection of travel.
Absolutely.
So stay tuned for that episode. But a lot of people don't know about the Google Flights Explore Destinations option. And I've heard a lot about this in the past. And years ago, we used it to book $400 round-trip flights to Paris. Do you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
For our fifth wedding anniversary. And we booked it. But then we ended up finding out we had a chance to adopt our second daughter. Mm-hmm. And so
And there were terrorist attacks in Paris, so maybe not the best place for new parents to go.
Okay, there really had been, yeah. So because of that, we ended up getting all of our money refunded.
It was cancelable.
And then we could put that
probably wise
towards the adoption. So you can essentially go into Google Flights and you can type in where you are and it'll pull up all over the world.
Hmm.
Flight options in the next 6 months, and you can kind of look around and see which ones are cheap.
That's cool.
Sometimes there's a glitch in the airline system. Mm. Some people have taken advantage of that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's just a special going on, and you could all of a sudden, instead of $700 round trip to Rome, suddenly you found a trip for $350. And you know that's never going to happen again, and you and your spouse have been wanting to go on a pilgrimage forever. Though that would be a creative way of making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just something to consider.
Yeah, just a neat way just to say, well, I don't know, where could we go?
Right. You're not always locked into just one option. Mm-hmm. Just look around.
I don't know. They might still do it. I think Southwest has a version of this themselves for their own tickets as well.
There's also the cheap airlines.
Oh, yes.
If you are willing to just go with a backpack. You're
just like wearing all your clothes on the plane.
Hey, if you're willing to pack a backpack, I mean, really, you just need about two or three outfits and toiletries.
Yeah.
If you're willing to travel like that and go on one of these budget airlines like Allegiant or Frontier, you can get a, you could potentially fly for $70 round trip per person. And if you choose the right days, I think usually a Tuesday or a Wednesday, kids fly free on Frontier. We did this a few years ago.
Stupid.
When we went we went on a Disney cruise, I think it was.
Was it for that or was it?
I forget.
I don't know what it was.
I forget, but we had two of our kids fly free. Uh-huh. Because of this, it was great.
We all flew for a couple $100.
Yeah, it was awesome. So you just kind of look around at what might be available to you. Of course, you're estimating gas costs.
Of course.
And, you know, how much would I spend on gas versus flights? And what's the time savings, et cetera? You're considering all those factors. You're thinking about family and friends who've maybe begged you to come stay with them or asked you to come visit.
Oh, there you go.
You know, I'm not always advocating. Some people that don't live near family, every single vacation they take is just going to visit family. Mm-hmm. I don't love that. We used to live that life. And I do think it's still important for you to have a real actual vacation, just your family once a year. I'm not saying it needs to be big and elaborate, but I do think you need time just for you and your family to make those memories together. But sometimes, if you have family or friends who live far away and you haven't seen them in a while, this could be a good way to open up a destination for you, whether you stay with them or you stay somewhere else in town. It could be fun to visit them. And it could be a way to just kind of anchor you to that area.
Yeah. Oh, well, it might extend the timeline of everything. Maybe make that a little more difficult. You could always kind of piggyback the two trips on top of each other. Mm-hmm. So go spend some time with family. And then maybe drive a couple hours and now you're in that other place that you've been wanting to go to.
Yep. Something else is just look at your calendar. Do you have any conferences that you're attending? Is there a work trip for somebody that you could kind of easily slip the family into before or after? And kind of make this the family trip because one flight potentially would be taken care of or everybody could just drive in. That could be a way to do it. And the other part would just be, you know, asking around. Sometimes just asking friends or even in Facebook groups, as much as I sometimes hate that because you never know who's giving you advice on a Facebook group. Somebody whose opinion is actually worth listening to versus 99% of people's who their opinions are horrible. They're not all created equal and you should not listen to
them.
They just don't
don't know you very well. And what they might like might not be what you like.
It's true, but I swear to you that's 99% of the people online. And so I don't listen to hardly anybody unless, you know, I have my criteria of how I know they're a worthwhile opinion or not.
If their first name is Amanda and their last name is Texera, maybe.
I kind of poke in and like ask more questions. And if, you know, it seems like a competent answer, then I'll move forward. But essentially this research phase is just kind of, you're researching. This is the fun part. You're just kind of, you're seeing what's out there. You're seeing what's available. You're exploring your options. You're seeing how far your budget and your points could take you and what kind of vacations could be dreamt up.
When you're in this stage, how do you balance it? How do you go far enough down one trip's rabbit hole to know, like, get an idea of what you could do, how much it might cost, etc., without having to plan 20 vacations to find one you like? Because if you don't go very far at all, you won't know at all what it's like. But if you go too far, then you're just wasting your time. How do you feel that out?
Yeah, I mean, I think I do about 20, 30 minutes of research into four or five options. And then we talk.
Okay.
And that helps me narrow it down. So I've only got 2 hours into this whole thing before you and I, through our discussions, will choose how narrow we want to go.
Got it. All right, then.
So I think that's really it. It's us choosing.
Okay. So then once you make that choice.
Yeah, now it's time to make your bookings.
Ooh.
Now it's time to commit a little bit. And this is where you're just going to need to know the options and where you're going. Mm. So like I said earlier, Yellowstone. The openings to get a spot in Yellowstone open up 365 days in advance. That's when all the spots get taken unless somebody cancels. So throughout the year, you could potentially sneak in or possibly get there last minute. But if you show up to Yellowstone last minute with your RV, you're gonna have to change spots almost every night by taking whatever happened to be left over in their inventory, and maybe somebody happened to cancel and you've scored their spot. Or you're gonna have to stay 45 minutes away in a private campground. That's more of the reality you're faced with. If you aren't aware of kind of the needs around this unique planning. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to go on vacation in July and here we are in May, don't pick Yellowstone. Don't pick Yellowstone or any other trip that is kind of like that national park experience where you really do need a lot of time. You know, you would want to put that a year from now, and then this summer, as soon as those bookings open up, you're ready to go. But you do need the money in hand to pay for those because they charge you immediately for the cabins or the campsites. So anyway, they refunded us a couple years ago, mercifully. Yes, that was very, very kind of them. So other things to consider would be, are there any promo codes that you could use? Sometimes with flights, they're running a sale. Mm-hmm. A couple of years ago with a campground we wanted to stay at, the Jellystone in Burleson, Texas. This is actually how we went on our two-week trip to Texas in the middle of January. It ended up turning out to be that ice storm that destroyed Texas and their power grids. We didn't see that coming. We thought it was going to be 70 and sunny.
Yeah.
Joke was on us, but they got us down there because they advertised for $11 nights, even at their highest end red carpet sites, which those are over $100 a night usually.
Mm-hmm. It was
and
awesome.
They're really nice. $11 a night. We pay more per night to live in our own home. And we were in the middle of finishing our basement. So it kind of made sense just to get out of Dodge and let the workers come in and work on the basement while our kids weren't fussing with things, while they weren't getting into sawdust and blah, blah, blah. So it really made sense to be gone.
Yeah, that was great.
That promo code, if you can just do a simple online search and all of a sudden it gives you ways to save money on your flights, on your hotel, on your lodging, on a rental car, on the place you're going to, like an amusement park. Do it.
Absolutely.
Always look for the promo code.
Mm-hmm.
Then next would be to figure out where you're going to stay.
Yeah.
If you don't have family and friends in the area that want you to stay or that you want to stay with, now it's time to look into that. One way that we start this search is that my mom works, she works as a banquet server very part-time for both Marriott and Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this, she gets insanely cheap hotel nights. So she gets to take advantage of that. We get to take advantage of the family and friend rate, which is still really,
which is
really
still pretty good.
Oh, super, super good. I think like a couple of years ago, you used it on our trip. Surprise trip.
Not quite as successful, but
to downtown Seattle. I cried when you told me where we were going. Yep.
Picked the wrong place.
He took me on an anniversary trip in October to Seattle.
It was awesome.
Cloudy, cold
it
Seattle.
It was fantastic. It was a great
I wanted
trip.
An all-inclusive on a beach.
I loved that trip.
We had a great time. And we saw some friends. It was fantastic. I loved that trip too.
Great trip. But yeah, it was this real swanky, cool, hip hotel.
Downtown.
It was so cheap.
I think
cheap.
It was like $50 a
night. It was so cheap.
Yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, Airbnbs and VRBOs are sometimes cheaper than hotels, but if you can get a family and friends rate from somebody you know that might work part-time, full-time for one of these corporations, really amazing.
Yeah. See if they can get the code added to your account.
If you don't have that, on next week's podcast episode, we are going to share a secret about how to score really cheap, really discounted hotel rooms for those road trips that you're going to be taking. So stay tuned for that. We're going to save that tip there. And then lastly would be if you need to book a rental car. Again, we say we have another tip next week. You got to tune back in for huge savings on rental cars.
Yep.
Or you need to do whatever repairs you need to do on your car to shore yourself up for a road trip if you are going to take that. That would be part of the budget, you know, for planning and preparing for this trip would be making sure your car's roadworthy if you're going to take it.
Yeah. And two other real quick things I've done before, or one I've done before, one other one I've looked at with Google Flights. I think a couple other places will do this too, but you can do your search and then it, based on past data and everything, it predicts, makes a guess as to whether this is a good time to buy or not. Maybe the price will go down, or hey, you better buy now because every other time in the past like this, it's gone up next week. Right. So that's really helpful. And then I think it was on Google Flights. I'm not sure. But on some of the flights, you could buy it now. And if the price went down, they would refund you the difference.
I wish they all did that.
Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be great. That seems unusual.
But look out for that if you can find it.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're going to make your bookings and you're going to be a wise consumer. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it also helps. This might sound like a weird trick, but let's say you're trying to get tickets to an amusement park or tickets to the local zoo or children's museum. Learn this one from my dad. You create an account with them or you find a way to give them your email address and then you add it to your cart. Walk away.
Yeah.
Walk away. You don't need to book this right now because most businesses have a way to tell if you have had something in your inbox and you just didn't go through the checkout process.
Mm-hmm. The old cart abandonment email sequence.
Yes, we have this in our business. Mm-hmm. A one email.
Yeah, you get one email an hour later to remind you to get back in there.
Yeah, and that's it.
So don't try this.
We're not as sophisticated. There's no hidden discounts when we send ours. It's just a tap on your shoulder. But a lot of times places will say, hey, we saw you had your eye on that. Hey, how about we throw in 20% off
or
15% off? Would that make it so that you check out? Take advantage of this. Absolutely. Take advantage of this. Or online booking prices sometimes can be lower than if you buy day of in person.
Oh, certainly.
That happened at Crayola World a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so that would be kind of that last tip.
And that helps. Another add-on benefit of planning ahead. Because you know what's going on with that.
Exactly. Mm. All right. The real fun of a trip is planning the activities you're going to do on the trip. Those are the real memory makers, right?
Yes.
And that's where we're going next, after this message from our sponsor. Attention, budget-minded Catholic families who value quality time with your family. Heart Ridge Catholic Family Summer Camp offers week-long family camps in the mountains of the Carolinas. These camps are designed for families to build bonds and grow in faith. They're loads of fun with lots of outdoor adventures, daily mass, date night, quality activities with your family, games, zip line and kayaks, a Catholic escape room, healthy food, and comfortable private lodging in air-conditioned lodges and cottages. They do all the work so that you can rest, relax, and just be with your family. Check it out at walletwin.com/heartridge. That's walletwin.com/heartridge.
Welcome back, and it is time to pick Amanda's genius brain about choosing activities for your trip. This is maybe what makes this.
This is the heart of the trip, right?
This is a lot of times the memory makers
the
right
rest
here.
This is just grunt work getting you into the location at a halfway decent deal so you can go do the activities.
Yes.
Usually. So this is really the fun, the bread and the butter of the trip.
So how do you do this? How do you find the things available to do, then find the things worth doing? And as you're going through all this, how are you doing it in order to facilitate planning like an on-budget, affordable trip.
Yeah, so I guess the first thing that I will typically do when I've secured a location is I want to hear what other moms have done. Mm. What have other actual people traveling with children done on this? I don't want to see an Instagram reel of a childless couple with unlimited amounts of money exploring an area. they're going to do things that are different. Mm-hmm. And they're going to capture it in a way that will not sum up our reality experiencing that same activity. Because ours will have a lot of crumbs and possible screaming associated with it.
And then you've got the kids to worry about in addition to me.
Exactly. So. Exactly. We're going to be hangry. We're traveling. So I will start with kind of looking at other traveling moms' itineraries that have gone before us.
How do you find these?
Blogs. That's kind of they're still out there. The blogosphere is
blogs still exist.
Is not dead. A lot of those blogs from yesteryear have now gone online into TikTok or Instagram. Sure. And so I'll watch some of those videos too, or YouTube. And I have kind of my favorite families that I'll follow that are just known for exploring really great areas, but also doing it reasonably. Mm. And so I will check those out as kind of that first step of research. Secondly, I'll reach out to people that I know that have been in these areas.
Oh, sure.
Or you could always crowdsource, go into a Facebook group. Just go ahead on your Facebook page. Mm-hmm. Go ahead and tell people where you're going or ask in your Instagram stories, what would other people do? Just to get the ideas flowing. Mm-hmm. Things that real people have done out there. Because sometimes you just never know. Sometimes there's good ratings on an activity out there, but what you don't realize or has a lot of ratings on Yelp, but it doesn't always tell the full story anymore in the day of bots. Mm-hmm. Or in the day of paying people to rank you,
sure.
or rate you.
Or like you're saying, you don't necessarily know who all 5,000 of those 5-star reviews are. Even if it is awesome and they are real, they all could just be, you know, single 20-somethings.
Sure, right.
Who said it was awesome, never having to consider, can you even do this with a toddler?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So that's kind of where I begin.
Okay.
Then my second favorite place, and we'll come back to this one in a second, is TripAdvisor.
Oh,
and
maybe you're going to say that.
You hate TripAdvisor.
I don't know.
I don't understand.
I had heard of it, I guess. I just never think of it. I never use it.
Well,
except you.
Me. There's two functions that I use it for. Mm. I will search the name of the area we're going to, and then they always have a things to do.
Yeah.
And it'll give you a ranking order where these are, and then there'll be reviews too. And you can even search the reviews. And you can even click on common words used, like family friendly or something about the weather that maybe impacts this activity. You can look for that information among the reviews. We'll talk about the second way I use it on the next bullet point.
What?
On the next point.
How else would you use it?
I know. I use it in a secondary way as well.
Interesting.
But I will look up the top 10 activities usually to do in this area. Mm-hmm. And it'll help me to not only choose things. First thing that I'm looking for, lowest hanging fruit. Why are we not maxing out on the free and low cost activities in the area? That's just a no-brainer in my book.
Because on TripAdvisor, in the category of things to do, could very well be like a particular park, right? Mm-hmm. Or a certain
museum.
Just, a place to be. It's not just like traditional, maybe like attractions, paid attractions.
Right. There's going to be some paid attractions in there. But there's also going to be trailheads in the area. Mm. There's going to be museums that are donation only. There's going to be some of those things that maybe just even the locals are ranking, but they're in there. A really great park that you should go have a picnic at. So I will go to this and I will find the things that are free or low cost, and I'm setting them aside to build into our itinerary, because why would I not do some of the most, within the top 10 ranked things in the area that people are saying are amazing and they don't cost a ton of money.
Those are automatically going
into the itinerary.
When we went to, was it San Diego?
San Diego?
We went and saw the seals. Is that San Diego? Oh, sure.
That was one of the things
that
I found.
Is that San Diego?
Yeah, I forget the name of the beach.
Balboa? No.
Balboa Park.
Where's that?
We got bicycles at our Airbnb. And I had a bike ride. No, that was there in San Diego.
So San Francisco.
Nope.
I don't know anything.
That was San Diego.
All. Anyway.
And then we went and saw the seals.
Yeah, but that's all like,
found that on TripAdvisor.
Was all free.
It was free.
But it's definitely one of the top ranked things to do.
Mm-hmm. Another example of this would have been in South Dakota. One of the things we did was Cathedral Spires Drive.
Ooh.
It was one of the best things that we did. We rented a car actually to do just this and to go up to Sylvan Lake because we didn't want to take our RV. It wouldn't have made it under the passages.
Through any of those.
But it was a free activity. I mean, minus us renting the car.
Mm-hmm.
But
that hike was awesome.
It was amazing. Yeah. It was amazing. The hike and then also just the scene, mm-hmm. the scenic area and the views. We've done this many times. We also found Badlands National Park.
Oh yeah.
Through that same issue when I was looking out on the ways out there, Wall Drug and Badlands go together.
Bingo bango.
They're right there together.
Corn Palace.
That was also
nearby.
I found some real goodies. And then the Vegas trip. Let's go back to the Vegas trip.
Oh, the Vegas.
We could have just stayed on the strip the whole time, but I saw in the top 10 activities in Vegas was Gold Strike Canyon canyoneering hike. You need to go about 45 minutes outside of Vegas. It's just free, this canyoneering thing. And I've actually done it, gone back and done it with friends when I was on trips without you. And essentially, you're canyoneering down and there's ropes and you're...
That's cool.
It's a little intense. Mm-hmm. We did it like idiots with one bottle of water and an apple. That was a very bad idea. We were extremely dehydrated and angry at the end of that hike.
That's great. Well, we made it.
The next time I brought a lot of water. But the idea here is you're looking up high quality activities in the area.
Mm-hmm.
And things that I prefer to do, things that are vetted by other people and that I have some level of trust in who's recommending this. I do trust the reviews on TripAdvisor. I do trust other mom blogs. I do trust people I know in real life. I don't always trust just like a Yelp review or maybe a Google review because you just never know where that's all coming from.
I will say this. I would usually go to those other places.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I've ever said this. When I was booking that Seattle trip,
okay,
I went to TripAdvisor because I knew that's the stuff you like. So I thought if it's good there, I think Amanda will think it's good too.
Mm-hmm. Now on TripAdvisor, this was how we ended up finding in when we went to South Dakota, the Chuck Wagon Dinner.
Ooh, yeah.
And also, I want to say the little...
Wildlife Drive.
No. You get into the cart and you go down the slide. We've done it before.
Alpine Slide.
Some of these activities, they were paid.
Yeah.
But because I build in a number of free or low-cost activities... I know that I'll usually have enough in the budget for maybe 2 to 3 higher quality paid activities.
Sometimes higher price.
Because
you mix it in there with the free or low cost, so it's cheaper per time you go do stuff.
So personally, I feel that you make better memories on a trip when you have a variety. You have a lot of those free to low cost things with one or two heavy hitters that cost more instead of just a bunch of kind of nothing
little
mediocre.
Yeah.
I find that to be so much more memorable.
So, yeah, it means that you could spend all your money on some little, spark fountains and some naughty dog fireworks and bleh. Or maybe you just get some sparklers,
and you go all in on major artillery.
And you go all in on one big thing, and then you're gonna think, "Oh yeah, we had some fun with the sparklers," and then whoa, those things blew up.
Yeah, I think it's for sure quality over quantity. But again, when you're mixing in the hikes and mm-hmm. the local library, you know, sometimes that's one of the yeah. best places to go, the local library, because they've got a bunch of children's activities or a story time and you're going to mm-hmm. learn about the local area. We love things like that.
Absolutely.
TripAdvisor activities, how we found out about that mining museum in Leadville.
Ooh.
That was fantastic. That was a great museum. That was fantastic. So because the Chuckwagon dinner, I found out on TripAdvisor. But here's the beauty of TripAdvisor, and it you can't find this out on the blogs. I was allowed to look at the price. Oh. It also will give you a link to either book it or go check out the website right there. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to see, okay, if we're going to do this as a family of five at the time, this is going to cost us a couple $100 just to go eat some mediocre steak dinner. But I know it's more about the experience. Uh-huh. And boy, did that what night deliver on an experience. It was one of those disaster nights where an extreme out of nowhere storm hit the Black
Pouring,
Hills,
right.
killed the power.
It was
they
awesome.
Couldn't serve dinner for like an hour.
It was great. It was so fun.
It was, yeah, it was fun because it was so disastrous. Mm-hmm.
But
it helped me to decide what I needed to set aside for that in the budget. So then other things had to fill in our activity list because that one took such a high priority.
I also seem to remember when you were looking this up, you learned. Because there's, you know, you could do this type of a dinner at different places. Mm-hmm. And it was like, this one seems to be the one that is the one to do.
Yep. Most
so we got the, kind of the most out of our money doing it where we did instead of, you know, yeah. well, I don't know, this one, I guess.
Yeah. In Custer State Park. Mm-hmm. The real deal. Yeah.
The it was great.
Chuckwagon dinner. It was fantastic.
It was good.
But it allowed me to look up the prices. And another just side note for activities on a trip. Sometimes people are in a dilemma because they have multiple age groups to entertain. Mm. And that can be real tricky. Mm-hmm. You've got a toddler and you have a 17-year-old. What are we going to do that anybody has in common? I have found that water-based activities tend to be fun for almost everybody.
Everybody loves
Whether
jumping in the pool.
Again, jumping in the pool or when we were in staying in Custer State Park, there were like these little lakes at every campground that your kids could just run into. Mm-hmm. And there were tadpoles and fun things to do. We also went to a natural spring, like water resort or Great Wolf Lodge. Mm. There's places for your toddler to go into that zero entry pool and slide down a 2-foot slide. And then there's really intense water slides. that even adults will be a little afraid of. So sometimes or go to the beach. What I'm saying here is that if you're really in a conundrum around how to find a vacation that'll please everybody, you almost can't go wrong if you find a water feature.
Hmm.
It just kind of helps level the playing field and allow you to find something that everybody could do.
Well, there you go.
Anyway, okay. That's choosing the activities, which is the fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. So now we've Recap gone through. Got to start with the end in mind. Figure out kind of the big details first. Then you start researching your options. You figure out where you're going to go. You make your bookings. You're making your activities now. And then the last piece.
The last plot part is figuring out how you're going to eat on this thing.
Mmm.
And I love to meal plan even when we're on vacation. And the reason for it is because there's some trips where you just need to eat out almost the entire time.
Sure.
I don't love that though, because one, you end up feeling like crap. Personally, I just. You just feel bad when you eat restaurant food for every mm-hmm. meal for a week. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make anybody feel good. Two, all you did was eat. It literally will take half the budget of your entire vacation.
Uh-huh.
I'm just not a fan of that. I would rather go do the fun activities and maybe have a meal or two that we make at our campsite or in the hotel or at the Airbnb mm-hmm. instead of just spending half the budget on going to some throwaway, forgettable restaurant.
Yeah, it saves money, but it also saves time. Because mm-hmm. You don't need to go out for, say, breakfast. You don't need to stop what you're doing. Go into town, find a place, sit down, wait, get lunch, and then get back to your vacation.
Mm-hmm. Just such a time waste.
Throw a couple sandwiches together, eat it while you're on the go. And then you can kind of, you're in a sense saving up the time and the money for, say, dinner, which can be a little bit more enjoyable.
Yes. Again, I think that this tends to be our motto in most things. We would rather go pretty simple where we can, so that when we do go out, it is a higher quality experience. It comes with a higher price tag. Certainly, what we'll spend on dinner on a vacation, you could have broken it up into a cheap dinner, lunch, and breakfast at forgettable, gross places. I'm not doing that. We're gonna save money probably on one or two of those other meals so that we can have a great quality experience at that one that we're going to go out on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going back to TripAdvisor.
Oh.
Going back to TripAdvisor.
This is when it comes back.
And I'm going to look up. We're going to go to the best rated restaurants. Probably not. If we got the kids with us, we're not going to go to fine dining with the four money marks.
Oh, yeah. You guys see how many money signs it's got.
Okay. We pretty much, when we're with the kids, we're not even going to entertain. They won't even let kids in, probably. We're not going to those places. But I will be able to see what are the best local restaurants in the area. I don't want to go to Applebee's on vacation. I'm not going to Chick-fil-A on vacation. I mean, maybe as we're driving.
Yeah.
But no, I want the local cuisine, stuff I can only get here. That's where I'm going. I want to spend my dollars in the local economy supporting small businesses here. And on TripAdvisor, that's where you find those nuggets. You're not going to find a Red Robin in the top 10 of the restaurants unless you're in a pretty small town that has a poor culinary scene.
Nowheresville. This was what I think enabled me on that magical Black Hills trip. I think I ate buffalo every day. Because we were just going to those types of places. And I thought, you know what? Really hard to get this back home. I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah. One of the places we went back to twice. It was so good. That burger place.
In downtown Custer. Yeah, that place was crazy.
It was fantastic. But one of the benefits also of looking up restaurants and finding them on TripAdvisor is not only are you going to find the tastiest, most quality restaurants in the area. Again, the menu is right there.
Mm.
So I will go and I will... This sounds insane to some of you. I will estimate what we're probably going to order at these restaurants. So I can, and then I'll add tip so I can know approximately about how much we're going to spend when we go to this place.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to have a surprise bill. And I don't, not everybody has to order what I thought they were going to. I certainly will probably order what looked good to me in that moment. I also have to make sure that they have a gluten-free option.
True.
So I have to do it for those from that standpoint as well. But it really helps because then I actually have a realistic picture of how much of this overall budget for the trip needs to be allocated on food.
Hmm.
Food alone.
I'm thinking about this? When we went to Disney World. And you'd set up these, this day we're going to this park, we're going to do these rides, and we're going to go eat here. I think we're going to get this and this. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to, and that is exactly what we did. We did whatever it's called, Toy Story Midway Mania thing, that 3D game thing.
And then we went,
and then we went to Woody's Lunchbox, and we got the tachos.
Duh.
Which you'd already picked out, and they were great. And you'd think, this seems like a lot of work, or this seems like it kind of might kill like the carefree spirit of vacation. But what was great is we avoided so much like time.
Hemming and hawing.
If you've ever sat down to watch a movie and then you spend the whole night just like, going through Netflix or whatever it is, just like looking for the movie. What you watched was the Netflix menu, and then you gave up
trying to decide on a
because it was too late, and you went to bed. You avoid that when you do this planning ahead,
mm-hmm.
so you're getting a much better experience And you're getting your money's worth more because there is no wasting time going, yeah, maybe we'll eat now. But, where should we? I think I saw I was on the other side of it all. There's none of that. Because you've already gone through, made the plan, and now you just got to execute.
Speaking my love language. Honestly, my purgatory might be an unplanned group trip where everybody stands in a circle trying to make a decision. And then you end up going to TGI Fridays to please everybody.
Are you sure that's purgatory?
Well, I'm just saying there's gonna be some picky adult in the group who doesn't have taste for anything above chicken fingers, and then you just always have to go down to that. Okay, I have room to grow, obviously.
You're hilarious.
Anyway, I do enjoy being able to predict that. So Disney, another one. I want to be able to figure out, here's another strategy that I'll use. Because I look ahead on TripAdvisor and I look at the menu, I've realized that a lot of places, if everybody gets their own entree, one, we're overeating. Two, if we didn't overeat, we're wasting food.
We're overspending.
Three, we're overspending. Mm. And so what the Texeras have preferred to do in these scenarios is that we'll oftentimes get maybe three entrees to split between our entire family, mm-hmm. with maybe an appetizer and a dessert. And that ends up being so much cheaper, mm-hmm. possibly two to three, depending on the serving size, mm-hmm. entrees. That ends up being a lot cheaper than everybody getting their own thing and the kids getting a kid's meal, et cetera, et cetera. And not only everybody got better food, but we ate the right amount, and it saved us in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it frees up bits in the budget to be able to go to other places and do other things.
Yeah. Now, that's for going out to eat. Now, if you want to save the money on food you're going to prepare, I do encourage you to meal plan a little bit while you're on this trip. So I would encourage you to look into what's seasonal, what's local. And if you're going to do cooking, definitely meal plan around those things. I mean, if you're out on the East Coast, you should probably cook fish.
Yeah.
You know, as a Midwesterner, I'm not going to go get a burger in Boston. It's just going to be bad. And then it's not what they're good at.
I'm sure there's some fine burgers in Boston.
I know. But like a nice steak. You know,
some baked beans.
I'm right where I'm supposed to be in Nebraska for a really, really great steak. And I've had that. But I want to eat the local cuisine. When we were down in, I forget where we went once, Charleston, we kind of... shrimp and grits.
That was the vacation of shrimp and grits.
Yes. That was the vacation of shrimp and grits. Try to buy local ingredients and cook via that way. But then if you're trying to go simple and just have quick, easy, on-the-go meals, our family will oftentimes go with things... Usually you'll have in the fridge of your hotel room. Usually in your hotel room, you'll have a fridge, or you could pack a really good cooler. And you know what? Ice is pretty cheap. Just refresh it every couple of days.
Or if you're at the hotel.
Get ice free. Exactly. But it's
or
worth
included.
Having things in your cooler. And so we'll pack things like kombucha and cheese sticks and jerky and sandwich fix-ins and yogurt and fresh fruit and sugar snap peas and cucumbers and carrots, little baby carrots. And then we'll bring a bunch of chips and bagged nuts and packaged little Bobos. What do you call those things? They're not a Nutrigrain bar, but it's like a oat bar.
It's an oat thing.
Yeah. Anyway, so you can go really far with just a bunch of handheld finger foods that don't really involve cooking at all. Because sometimes you're just not in a position or have the time to actually cook. If you do, that's fantastic. And usually when you're camping or at one of those extended stay hotels, or an Airbnb, that's where you could do that. But not every trip is going to allow that. And so don't feel shame if you go down the route of just getting a bunch of prepackaged things and having a cooler.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal.
When we went out to Colorado for Easter a year or two ago.
Yes.
Oh, did we make the lasagna there? We cooked it at home and brought it, right?
Yeah, fantastic idea.
It sounds crazy. Cook a lasagna, then take like an 8 to 10 hour road trip.
No, we didn't cook it. It was assembled.
It was assembled. Okay.
I assembled a lasagna. I assembled an egg bake. I assembled overnight oats. I assembled all these things at home.
And we went to the grocery store and got some stuff.
Yeah.
But then it was great because I think it was the first night we were there. As soon as we pull in, we just turn on the oven, throw it in. We bring everything else in, blah, blah, blah. And then we've got this awesome meal. We didn't have to think about it. We didn't have to go anywhere. It was actually really cool.
Yeah, it's really disruptive to have to go out to eat on that first night when you get somewhere and you're trying to just set up.
So that might sound a little wild. Sounds a little crazy. But it was awesome.
Yeah, you pre-make some stuff and then you bring it on your trip.
It was great.
It's so easy.
It was
And
awesome.
That was, yeah, a trip where we weren't camping. We were staying in an Airbnb. Mm-hmm. So we did do some cooking that week.
But yeah, we went out a couple times.
Mostly just ate the food we brought.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we weren't eating that, is when we got to go out to the local restaurants and actually enjoy the local area.
Oh, yeah, that pizza place. That was good.
I'm forgetting it.
Mm. Well, I remember.
The only place I remember is...
The candy store.
Winter Park, Colorado has a pizza shop that also had really good gluten-free beer.
Mm.
And one of our daughters discovered Hawaiian pizza for the first time and has been on a kick ever since. Found that restaurant on TripAdvisor. No, I don't know actually if I did.
Probably.
I probably did actually. Anyway, but that is kind of the process is start with the end in mind with your expectations, but also you got to have a number.
Mm.
You got to have a number. It's okay to have a little bit of a range on it, but you got to have a number and you got to commit to it. Now you what?
I'll say one thing. Here it is. You can't, and it's up to you. There's two ends of it's a spectrum, and maybe the middle's the best, but you can have what you want to do, and then how much is that? Great. Ooh, all right, we can do that in 2 months, or we can do that in a year. Then there's, well, how much do we have? Okay, I guess that means we could do this or that. So you can let the activity, or like where you want to go, you can let the trip set the budget, and you can let the budget set the trip,
mm-hmm.
and you can also kind of, you know, let them mush together in the middle.
Right.
Either way is fine. It's just, you know, that's cool. It's part of the dials that you get to tweak on this.
You just have the money for the trip before you go on the trip. That's really the key indicator.
Yes, that's important.
Then you're going to research what's available. What are your options? You're going to make the bookings. Then you're going to choose the activities. And then last but not least, you're going to think about what you're going to eat. Now, I will say this. Our sponsor of today's episode is the Catholic Camp, the Heart Ridge Ministries. And what they have is, I think, one of the best options for a large Catholic family.
Mm.
Not even a large Catholic family, just any Catholic family wanting to go on vacation. There's something really beautiful about, it's kind of like taking an all-inclusive. But instead of sandy beaches and pina coladas in your hand, you're trading in that for meals in the mess hall with other families and also access to the sacraments and fun family activities. You might be hard pressed to find a better trip to weave in at least every couple of years.
Mm.
A family vacation where you still got to interact with other solid Catholic families. They strive to make it so that it's affordable for almost all families to be able to make possible.
Mm.
So I would highly consider thinking about something like that. There's Catholic camps also offered in other areas of the country too. But if you're in the Southeast, might want to consider that one.
Wow. Well, there you go. You can find all of this information and more in the show notes. If you or heck, if somebody you know is planning a vacation, send them this episode. I'm sure they'll love it.
Until next time. Bye for now.